This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I gotta keep loving you.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLIA, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Well, I mean, I tell you, I think I have been waiting all summer long for this to happen. And it is my son's orientation to go back to school. Yay! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! My baby goes back to school. Thank the Lord. Oh, I tell you, man. Oh, I worry. Because, I mean, you know, you're supposed to love your kids and you're supposed to want to be around them, especially since I work so much and I never get to see them. But, oh my gosh, I mean, he's at the age where he's turned into a teenager. I don't think I can handle it anymore. You know, I mean, everything I say is second guessed. The eye rolling, the, you know, eating my food, you know, like I'll have like a chicken salad sandwich ready for me, you know, to go. It'll be gone. And the other kid's already back in high school. His high school started like August 8th or something like that. It started early on. But this one, oh my gosh, I mean, just go. So we got the orientation, and I got to be very, very careful because, you know, he's going into the 8th grade. And the 8th grade is a very big year, you know, because now, you know, they're kind of king of the school, okay? And you can already see, he has been waiting his whole life for this moment, right? To be now the biggest kid in the school. Remember when we were younger and we saw the 8th graders? I was so scared. I was scared of 5th graders when I was little, you know, and that was when I was in the 6th grade, right? You know, so I remember looking up and seeing the big kids like, oh, man. Well, actually, middle school didn't really start to separate until I was, I guess, later in middle school. But when I was younger, you know, everybody was in the same public school. And so very, very scary, very, very, very frightening. So now here's my son. He's going to be the big head honcho. And, you know, I want to tell him, look, next year you're going to be a freshman. You'll be a freshman. So, you know, don't be acting all hot and toddy 8th grader around my house. Okay, I will knock you down a size. Problem is the size, I don't know if it's a problem, it's a good thing, but, I mean, his size is changing by the day. He walks into my room, right, to step on the scale, because I've got a scale in my room, and he's almost as tall as me. It's like every day he's growing. So I'm a little nervous, because here's my baby, you know, trying to stretch and show identity and, you know, make his mark in this world and, you know, going through all the changes that they go through and the voice is getting lower. And I don't know if I want to fight it or stop it or if I want to accelerate it so he gets the hell out of the house. I just don't know. So today I got orientation. I got to be very, very careful because I know I'm going to be all giggly. And I'm going to be all over bubbly because the kids are going back. And I'm going like, see ya. You know, I mean, I remember kindergarten. I was like, oh, my baby was crying. Now I'm like, please leave. You know, get out. Don't let the door hit your butt on the way out. So, and you know, the teachers don't like me as much. I mean, that I learned very early on because, you know, remember, when I went to school, I was a class clown. And so I really liked sitting in the back of the class, you know, cracking a joke, making a joke. I love that. And so now the parents are in orientation. By the way, my son's high school, the parents are supposed to tomorrow night walk through the classes as if they're doing their son's schedule. Okay. Well, you know, I'm like middle age, right? But in my mind, I'm still 15, 16. And so, you know, I know I'm just going to fall right back into the way I was in school where teacher pitches something and I knock it out of the ballpark with a smart alecky comment. So the teachers don't really like me. I told you years ago, my older boy, he was in the first grade, and it was one of the conferences, and the teacher, really nice teacher, I mean, first grade teachers are always super nice, you know, she's like, you know, we do have one issue with your son, and I'm like, well, what? She's like, well, when it's story time, and we're all in a circle, okay, I'm so proud, I just beaming, anyway, it was a problem, okay, so she goes, you know, it's story time, and all the kids are sitting around in a circle, and I'm trying to read the story. You know, it's quiet. We have the lights dim because we want to get them ready for nap time. At the most quiet and at the most serious part of the story, your son just mouths off about something and makes a joke, and then he gets everybody all giggly, and then I got to try to calm him down again. Okay? And I was so beaming. I was like, do you mean, teacher, to tell me that my son has comedic timing? Well, no, we don't call it that. We call it, you know, a disruption of the class. Oh, you're right. He's a very bad boy. Oh, yeah, he's a very bad boy. Bad boy. I'll definitely address that later. But he, I mean, did everybody laugh or just half? I mean, you know, what did you think of the joke? Did it make you laugh? She's like, no, it did not make me laugh. But yes, it disrupted the whole class. What about the people in the hall? I mean, did he project his voice? was his timing right on? And I mean, I was just beaming because you can't teach that. And here my son is in high school, and he's got comedic timing. He's, like, really, really good at that. And I even better than me, the kid's funny. You know, I was always worried, you know, are my kids going to be super smart? Are they going to be super athletic? Are they going to know they're funny? I am so proud. So, you know, needless to say, the teachers never hit it off. Never hit it off. You know, the other thing that I did that unfortunately, messed up the kids, sullied them, was, when I would read them a story, you know, they'd want a bedtime story. You know, I wanted to go to bed. I mean, I had to get up early, you know, 5-6 in the morning the next day. So I would, you know, make a story up. Like, you know, one day, you know, my kids are named Stone and Brock. Okay, so I'd make up a story. You know, one day there was a little boy named Stone. And Stone wouldn't listen to his mama. So he got a butt whooping. The end. And he's like, Mom, that's a horrible story. Okay. So anyway, you know, those are the types of stories I would tell him. So when they had story time in class... I'm so proud. I'm so proud of my babies. When they had story time in class, you know, the story would end either with, you know, it being very, very terse and very, very, you know, succinct and truncated, or somebody would get a tushy whooping in the story. And so they would giggle and everybody would think it's funny. And there'd be like funny stories and teachers like, this is not appropriate. It's, you know, where's the antagonist? Where's the protagonist? Where's the climax? Where's the that? So again, in conference, you know, your son doesn't know how to tell a story. I'm like, I get it from his daddy. All right, I'll tell you guys how orientation goes. Okay, don't worry. We got some medical news and a lot of good stuff this hour. Don't go away. 1-877-DOC-TELLY.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. As you know, blood banks across the country have declared critically low supplies. In response to this, we've created a National Blood Donation Week. September 4th to September 10th is National Blood Donation Week, and September 10th is National Blood Donation Day. Governors in multiple states have declared their state blood donation day to be September 10th, and we are hoping this encourages millions of Americans to donate blood. See, when a crisis strikes, the blood needs to be in the hospitals ready to go. But remember, the units need to be processed days before. And since thousands of units of blood are already being used by hospitals on a regular daily basis, blood supplies need to be prepared and delivered year-round. If you can't donate blood, please host a drive or even spread the word. It all saves lives. So while your governor's office is working on the proclamation, please sign up to donate blood or host a drive at drdahlia.com or follow the link to National Blood Donation Week. Remember, one pint of blood could save 3 lives. Imagine what the whole country could do.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FiveStarSoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
On the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Tom, who was working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. All right, so we have new sugar limits for kids announced by the American Heart Association. And what really stinks about this is I think I already had, you know, the sugar limitation for a week imbibed already this morning when I had some Cocoa Krispies. So I'm like really in trouble. They say kids in the United States are sweet on sugar, but the AHA is putting a stop to that. They are suggesting that children 2 to 18 consume no more than 6 teaspoons, which is 30 milliliters or milligrams of added sugar a day, according to the organization's statement published today, which is today. in the journal circulation. That amount of sugar is equal to 100 calories or 25 grams of sugar. I have to admit, I agree with that. I really do. Added sugar. The kids shouldn't be having any sugar. You know, like with the Halloween candy. All Halloween candy should go to Mama. After Mama gleans what she wants, then you can get your Halloween candy back. I know we're going to be coming up on Halloween in a couple months. I can't wait. Although my kids are getting too old to trick-or-treat. So I don't know how I'm going to... You know, I could just dress up as like a Ninja Turtle or something. And you know, like in Ted, you know, they won't know that I'm not a kid. I'm going to act like a kid. I'm all googly-eyed and stuff, and, you know. All right, anyway, back to this. They said there's little room in a child's diet for added sugars because they need calories from vegetables, fruits, protein sources, whole grains, and dairy to grow up healthy. That is Dr. Miriam Vos, the chairperson of the committee. She wrote the scientific statement, and an associate professor of pediatrics at Emory University School of Medicine in Atlanta. You know what? Now that I'm an assistant professor at Toro, I better learn how to write a scientific statement. I mean, you guys see my Facebook posts. You've seen some of my articles. I better learn how to, you know, now that I'm a professor, I got to start writing scientific statements. I mean, it's science, guys. This is like really, really science. Michael Fassbender is gorgeous. That's science. I better learn how to do that. Because, you know, it ticks me off. You got all these other professors all over the news, you know, because they write a scientific statement. Okay? Yet I post, like, an amazingly likable post on Facebook and Twitter. Nobody cares. What's going on here? Added sugar can, however, they say, be used in small amounts to improve the taste of foods, that are healthy and rich in nutrition. Yeah, that'll be my scientific statement. Duh. Such as whole grain cereals, flavored milk, or yogurt to make those foods more appealing for children. Well, that makes sense. She's right. This is in her scientific statement, by the way. Okay, this is why she gets paid the big bucks. She said there are loads of added sugar in sugar drinks, cookies, cakes, and candies, foods which have little to no nutrition value. Okay, you know what? This is ridiculous. She writes, I'm so mad. She writes a scientific statement saying something that we all know. I'm going to do that. I'm going to start writing scientific statements, and I want to see what happens. Man, I guess if you're going to make a scientific statement, it has to be grammatically correct. That's okay, because Google will do that for you. I need to use some bigger language, you know, some bigger vocabulary than I do, something higher than fifth grade, and again, Google could help me with that. It's got to be spelled correctly, and again, Google has a spell check. And then I just have to sound smart. I'll just get somebody else to write it. Tom, you're going to write my scientific statements for me because I don't know how to do that stuff. You know what? I'll fall asleep halfway through the scientific statement because I'll find it so boring. You know what? You know, we need to make a splash and make a new trend of how scientific statements should be. You know, like big font, a lot of emojis, a lot of pictures.
I'm on board with this.
I think so. We'll make money. Because, listen, how many people really like to read other people's scientific statements? They don't. It's boring.
Ooh. I got my hand raised.
Yeah. You do? No way. You like to read scientific statements?
I actually read a lot of scientific journals and articles. It's one of the few places in news that I find the advertisements don't destroy the articles.
But do you understand what you're reading? I mean, I don't.
And that just leads me back to Wikipedia, and yeah. I always learn something.
Like I love Wikipedia.
Interesting thing, the reason, just sidetrack slightly, but interesting fact that I read about it was a political piece, but they were talking about the reason why NASA is so much more important than like SpaceX or something is because NASA, whenever they research something, they have to release all that stuff to public domain in 20 years. Unless it involves national security. Private company like SpaceX doesn't have to. Interesting fact, that's why I am for a national space program rather than privatized. Although,
wow.
for personal use, we may end up finding ways to get into outer space through those private companies faster, but then they...
Who wants to go to outer space, though? I really have no desire.
Pick me.
All you're going to have to read up there is scientific journals. I mean, please. Well,
that and you get to float, like... I totally want to float.
Yeah, but I got to pee. I don't know how that's going to work. I'm scared of that vacuum thing. That, like, really scares me. See, guys, they have no problem. With me, I am so scared of going to the bathroom in space. I'll hold it in.
You might have to conquer that fear.
Yeah, and then Mars, because it's red, plus the urine will turn orange. Be like, what's that orange planet? It looks like the sun. All right, no, that's good. That's good. This conversation went really bad downhill fast, which is why I cannot write a scientific statement, but you sure can. Especially, did you notice Tom used the word privatize? That's three syllables. One way to get into a scientific statement is you say words that have like multiple syllables, which I can't do.
My IT syllables. The IT guy here actually made fun of me maybe a couple months ago. I can't remember what word I said. I said something like privatized, and he's like, don't use big words to sound smart. I'm like, I'm not. I just, it's what I...
No, you really are polysyllabic. Honestly, Tom, I don't mean to insult you. I know we're close, but you are polysyllabic.
What's that mean?
Polysyllables. I'm trying to sound smart. You, just in case this goes into a scientific statement, you use a lot of syllables, and you lose me two syllables into every word. You can't do that.
You just got to use the right syllables.
Yeah. Alright, well, let's get back to this AHA and this woman's scientific statement, which I'm completely jealous of. Oh, there's other recommendations. Okay, so let's talk about our kids eating too much sugar. First, okay, so kids at age 2 to 18 typically take 2 to 3 times in the amount of sugar than they should by the recommended guidelines. So that's about 13 grams of added sugar a day for kids and up to about 22 grams a day for teens. Okay, so apparently that's too much. So this is the first time the American Heart Association has released its own set of recommendations for kids about added sugars. Previously, the federal government's 2015 dietary guidelines for Americans recommended that children get no more than 10% of their total calories per day from added sugar. I have to agree with that. They say estimated 10%. I don't agree a lot with what the government does, but I got to, you know, honestly, we have to limit their sugar. They think a breakfast cereal, and they think, you know, a juice drink, and they think, you know, peanut butter and jelly, and then dinner with dessert is proper dieting and eating, and that's too much sugar. Estimating 10% of the calories may be difficult for most parents. So to simplify the process, the new report says 100 calories a day of added sugar, no more than that, and maybe the 6 teaspoons, which that does not simplify things at all because I have no idea how many teaspoons of sugar my kids are getting. Remember, I'm at the age now where I need reading glasses, so I can't even really read the labels, so that doesn't help me. And if I ask my kids, guys, I got to make sure you're not taking in how much sugar. How many teaspoons does it say because you can't have more than 6? They go, Mom, it says 0. Oh, okay, well, then you're good. Have a... Remember, they're my kids. Okay, we got other recommendations. The second recommendation the AHA scientific report advised. Oh, now they're writing the scientific report. What's so scientific about these reports, and why are we using that adjective? That children under the age of 2 have no added sugar in their diet. So if a kid is under 2, they don't need added sugar. They don't need cookies. They don't need lollipops. Lollipop, lollipop. Nope, they don't need that. Mm-mm. And then the third American Heart Association recommendation in this very scientific report with lots of syllables called for children and teens to limit the amount of sugary sweetened beverages they drink to no more than 1 8-ounce beverage a week. Sugar sweetened beverages include sodas, sports and energy drinks, sweetened teas, fruit flavored drinks that are not 100% juice. So I agree with that. They really shouldn't be drinking soda pop. So how do you limit sugar? Well, again, you know, have them eat late. You know, throw some grapes or blueberries in the freezer and then take it out, and they could munch on those as a snack. You know how we all smuggle food into the movie theater? Okay, well, then rather than buying the $1 or $1.50 or the $2 box of Goobers, you know, give them those sweet grapes are, like, really, really yummy. You could give them raisins. You could even do trail mix, and trail mix has a little bit of sugar, but at least if it's a trail mix, I'm sure the nuts will help you poop it out. Make sure they exercise more, but really have a no soda pop rule. You know, my husband orchestrated a no soda pop, he orchestrated a no soda pop contest. I failed it, like, you know, after the first minute or two. But he said no soda pops, and so the kids, the boys right now, I think they're like in their third week of no soda pop, and I am just so proud of them, even though they're grumpy, but I just, you know, I just don't really hang out with them, and that's easier. You know what you do when your kid gets on your nerves? Have them read one of these scientific statements. All right, guys, don't go away. We'll be right back. We got a great, great interview coming up. We got Tesha Lingenfelter from Inland Northwest Blood Center. We're going to hear how things are in Washington when it comes to the blood supply and how critical it is. Don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY.
Dr. Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dolly and on Facebook, the Dr. Dolly Show. So, as you know, we have multiple governors throughout the United States. We're now up to 20 governors who have signed proclamations for a state blood donation day as they are trying to fight the critical blood supply shortage that we have. And here to join us, who's on the front lines, is Tesha Ligenfelter, Marketing and Communications Coordinator at Inland Northwest Blood Center. And we are so happy to have you, Tesha. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Good, man. No, I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, you are working, you know, every day to try to help keep blood supply stores. Tell us what's going on in Washington.
So we've actually been struggling the entire year. Typically, blood centers, we struggle in the winter and we struggle in the summer. 35% of our donors are actually students, whether that's secondary or post-secondary, so high school or college. So when school's out, we tend to see a huge drop in donations, especially even our older donors, they're out with their family, so they're not thinking to come in and donate. So instead of having the solid springs that we normally have, we've actually been fighting the Zika virus. Last winter, we had a horrible windstorm that just devastated our area and then had a snowstorm. So the times when we were normally building up blood supply to get us through those slow times, we had nothing. So we're fighting a battle that we've been fighting since November. Unfortunately, it's been rough, but we're really, really hoping that we can ramp up with, you know, the National Blood Donation Week and the National Blood Donation Day. We can really ramp up going into this coming winter.
No, I mean, bless your heart. You know, what happens when you, I mean, do you have to ship blood in from other regions? How does that work if you guys, you know, run, have, or have you luckily never gotten to that point where you run out?
So, thankfully, we are part of Blood Systems, which is this big group out of Arizona. It's a, kind of like a band of community blood centers where it's like, you know, if one of us is hurting, we can help out the other. Recently, when we've been struggling to make need, we have been able to rely on help. But right now, the entire nation is facing a blood shortage. So all of our blood centers really have to be self-sufficient. We can't rely on someone else being able to send us blood because we can only make those shipments or expect them when everyone else has a surplus. They've supplied their own community. So we're really, really hoping our communities, you know, you, if you're near a community blood center, like, come out and support them because that's the blood that stays in your community. That's the blood that saves your neighbor, your family member, your friends, if there was ever a tragedy.
Absolutely. And, you know, what always blows my mind is how many pints of blood certain cities require on a daily basis. You know, I'm imagining, you know, every now and then you'll have, you know, a company, and thank God for them, you know, going, guys, let's all donate blood today. And maybe they'll do that once a year. Or, but, you know, how much blood in your particular area, and what is your region? Again, it's East Washington or all of Washington?
So it's east, so through central Washington, basically. So, like, Ellensburg is kind of the line where we start, we work with Bloodworks Northwest, so they supply the western Washington portion. So we go from basically central Washington all the way out through the Idaho Panhandle. So we work with Idaho.
Wow.
Then down south through Lewiston, which is in Idaho and near southern Washington, all the way up north to the Canadian border. So
Inland
Northwest Blood Center needs about 200 donors a day just to meet the needs of our region.
Wow, 200 donors a day. I mean, and you know, it's funny because, you know, I would have patients saying, look, I need to donate blood. Can I donate blood? You know, I'd be watching them. I'm like, yeah, you look good. You're good for it. You're good for it. You know, but I didn't have a lot of those patients. I didn't have a lot of them that were regular blood donors. I mean, how, it's got to be such a challenge for you to, you know, entice somebody to donate blood. How do you do
it? So, I mean, we joke, we're working with one of our blood drive coordinators who, you know, said it's really, really hard to get people to part with their bodily fluids referencing blood. And it was kind of laugh, like, you never really think of it that way. But, I mean, we try to have promotional incentives. So people don't realize that it's actually, the FDA prohibits us from compensating with money for blood products that will go to people. So people are like, well, I donate at the plasma center. And you're like, oh, that's cool, like, you get money for it. But those types of donations actually go to research, not to saving lives. So what we do is we have promotional things where people can get points that they can get T-shirts with, or we'll have giveaways. So this month, anyone who presents to donate, whether it's a successful donation or not, they're entered to win a $500 Visa gift card if they present to donate with our center.
Oh,
so
wow.
We try to have fun promotions that bring people in every month. So, I mean, then there are the people who, thankfully, they don't need those incentives to come in. You know, they were raised that this is a really valuable form of community service. There is no substitute for human blood. If there aren't selfless donors coming in and making that sacrifice of, you know, just an hour of their day three times a year, that blood isn't on the shelves to save lives.
Right.
So thankfully, we do have community members who understand that.
Yeah, and again, and then, you know, you have people, well, like me, you know, I went out of, I had planned a trip, you know, a year ago before Zika, and I had gone to the Caribbean, and it was actually an inexpensive trip, believe it or not. It was cheaper than going anywhere in the United States because I, you know, so here we are, we went for a week, and of course I got mosquito bites, and, you know, the FDA had urged, look, you know, if you've been to an area where there's Zika, don't donate for a month at least. And so now you have people that are, you know, so now you have a short blood supply. You have people that want to donate. You have your regular donors, and now they're out of the equation for at least a month.
Yeah.
Because
it's a struggle. What we've been doing, because, I mean, thankfully we're far enough north that we're not in the horrible situation of southern Florida where, you know, they were actually barred from donating because they were seeing Zika in their area. But what we've been strongly encouraging, especially with our college base, we have a lot of colleges in the area, is, hey, before you go on spring break or before you leave, please donate before you go. Because if you're doing a whole blood donation, you can only donate every 2 months. So if you donate right before you leave and you're only gone for a week, even if you're gone for a month, that 28-day deferral might be up before you're even eligible to donate again.
Exactly.
So if you time it right, you're not interrupting your donation schedule, and you're really still able to help save lives.
For those of you joining us, we're talking to Tesha Lingenfelter, Marketing and Communications Coordinator for Inland Northwest Blood Center, and who's kind of on the front lines when it comes to, you know, dealing with the critical blood supply. One thing I'm very concerned about, which is why I'm glad that, you know, we're working with you and everyone on National Blood Donation Week, is, you know, we start to come into the winter. So here you are coming out of a summer where it's low supply, and, you know, every year they say, okay, you know, this flu season is going to be worse. Well, we are really concerned about what's going to happen this next flu season. And so, you know, we may be coming out of Zika season temporarily, but then we're going to be coming into a season where, you know, people are sick or they're on antibiotics, etc. What prevents, as we go into flu season, what would prevent a person from donating blood, which is why they may want to consider donating blood now?
Yeah, so flu season, what a lot of people don't realize is that your blood products aren't just going to trauma patients. 30% of our blood supply is actually used by cancer patients, and those are people with weakened immune systems.
Mm-hmm.
So colds or flus can be transmitted through blood. So, if you're feeling healthy, please come donate. And then as long as you're feeling healthy 2 weeks prior or 2 weeks after, we can actually still use your blood. That way we don't risk your flu going to someone with a compromised immune system. So, We really encourage people, you know, if you're feeling healthy, if you think that you're healthy enough to come donate, please, please come, especially before flu season hits. And then if you're one of the lucky ones who is healthy through flu season, mm-hmm. please come donate because we need you. Especially in December is when we see a big drop off in donations because that's when all the students go home on Christmas break and people are going and traveling and seeing family, and blood donations aren't top of mind. So we very much encourage people to come and donate while they can.
So, Tesha, how can people find Inland Northwest?
Inland Northwest Blood Center. So we are online. We're on several forms of social media. So our website is inbcsaves.org. You can also find Inland Northwest Blood Center on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're very active. We try to respond to everyone's messages. We have our phone number listed there if you want to call and you have questions about deferrals and eligibility. We love to talk to you. We'd love to set up an appointment and get you in.
Thank you, Tesha, for joining us. Can't wait to have you back. Thank you so much, and bless you for all your hard work.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate you.
No worries. I'll talk to you soon, sweetie. Bye-bye. All right, guys, don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DOCTOR.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine, and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with a trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria,
bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
Hi guys, Dr. Dahlia here. You've been hearing a lot about MyPillow, and I'm here to tell you, wow, it works. With MyPillow, I'm able to fall asleep faster and stay asleep. And I don't wake up with neck pain like I do with some of my other store-bought pillows. MyPillow is my go-to pillow every night. So get your MyPillow at MyPillow.com and use promotional code DDW. Or you can call 1-800-419-1379. It'll be the best night of sleep ever.
What are you listening to?
Have you tried the Dr. Dahlia 24-7 listen line? It's easy. Just punch in 605-477-3713. No apps, no data, no internet needed.
And no extra cost if you have unlimited minutes.
Call now, 605-477-3713. Now you can listen to Dr. Dahlia when you want. Bookmark the Dr. Dahlia 24-7 listen line number today, 605-477-3713. Got it? Call 605-477-3713.
Did you know that a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-952-2797.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs, and it eliminates the daily hassle of washing your system by hand. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto! Your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer, only available by calling 1-800-952-2797. That's 1-800-952-2797.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLIA, 1-877-DOC-DAHLIA. L.I. So if you hate your job in your 20s, you're going to have health issues in your 40s. This is new research that looks at job dissatisfaction. According to a 2014 report, most Americans, around 52%, were unhappy with their job. All right, so that's, no shock there, especially since many of us had to take jobs during the recession that we didn't want and were less paid than what we were used to making. They say now this could have substantial health implications later in our lives. They're assuming some of us are not in our 40s. Yeah. A new study conducted at the Ohio State University by Jonathan Durlam, a doctoral student in sociology, was set up to investigate the long-term health effects of job satisfaction or lack thereof early in people's careers. Together with Hugh Zhang, an associate professor of sociology at Ohio State, Durlam used data from surveys of 6,400 Americans to analyze job satisfaction over the number of years from 1979 onward. The survey was the National Longitudinal Survey of Youth, 1979, and the participants were between 14 to 22 years old when the research began. The participants were asked to rate the job satisfaction level from 1, where they disliked it very much, to 4, where they liked it very much. The results were then divided into 4 categories: consistently low job satisfaction, which were 45%, consistently high job satisfaction, 15%, started high but then trended down, 23%, started low but trended up, 17%. Now, all participants reported a number of health issues after they reached the age of 40. The researchers used the consistently high job satisfaction group as a control. Their health problems were compared to the other groups, and if you were in the low satisfaction group, you had much higher levels of depression, sleep problems, excessive worry, as well as scoring lower on other mental health measures. Now, I know some of you are like, well, wait a second. If you have certain challenges, okay, with moods or, you know, depression, etc., then you may never be satisfied with your job. You may always have issues. You know, I mean, I was always the type of person where I'm going to make, a good situation work. You know, if it's a boring job, then I'm going to whistle while I work, you know, or I'm going to sing, or I'm going to daydream, or I'm going to, you know, or if it's hard work, I'll listen to music to get, you always kind of make lemonades out of lemons. And so for me, I think that helps, even though I don't want to say I'm the best of health right now in my 40s, you know, but despite what happened with Obamacare and the things that happened in medicine, I love my job and I love radio, you know. I mean, I know it's not the most lucrative profession, but I love radio and I love being here, and with the exception of working with Tom, it's a good job. Sorry. I love Tom. So I'm pretty satisfied with my job. But then again, it's, you know, me, I'm going to make the situation work. If I don't like the situation I'm in, but I've rarely disliked the situation I was in. I mean, maybe I'm just lucky, or maybe I just know how to make things work. I don't know. I don't know. They said those who in the group who started out with high job satisfaction but then had a downward trend were also going to have issues with sleeping and worriness and anxiety, etc. So, you know, liking your job is very important. The idea that, you know, most of our day is surrounded by work. You know, yeah, maybe we get up in the morning, maybe we work out, maybe we get dressed, but, you know, we're getting dressed and we're putting our makeup on and we're doing our hair or whatever, shaving, right, to get ready for work. Then you have about an hour commute at that. Then you have your full day, which an 8-hour day is rare. Then you have your hour plus maybe commute home. And then you have, you know, the after work stuff, like the emails and the texts and the reports and, you know, et cetera, or the prep work or whatever. And then finally you got family time. And so if you don't like your job, you know, yeah, that's going to wear on you. You know, now what about in the olden days, okay? You know, when you didn't have a choice in your job, you know, your job was to, you know, put food on the table. Your job, well, they didn't really live that long either back then. So liking your job is important. The problem is, you know, what is it? You want to make your vocation your vacation. I think that was Mark Twain. And I apologize if I'm misquoting him, the exact quote. You know, my kids love that quote. And they go, well, that's what I want to do. I want my vocation to feel like a vacation. See, here I am. You know, and so like for me, okay, I love show business. So if my day has to be, well, I got to do a TV hit, I have to be, you know, be on the radio, I have to, you know, tweet, and I mean, I could do that all day long. I love that kind of stuff. You know, or teaching. I could teach all day long. I love to sit there and talk to students and lecture, and I love that. You know, so I could do that. So for me, yeah, I feel like, you know, it's a vacation. It's a hard work. It's a lot of work, but I love it. But it took me years to get to this point. You know, and I told the kids that too. You know, you're going to have to make a living. You're going to have to build up a resume. You can't just go right from, you know, high school into, you know, a job where you get to sit there and, you know, like, for example, lifeguarding. I mean, lifeguarding, it seems like a dream job. You know, you get to stare at the ocean all day. I mean, what an office, right? You know, you get to stare at the ocean. You have the best view ever. You get to, you know, hang out in a bathing suit, so you don't have to be in a, you know, shirt and tie. You know, but, you know, that takes a lot of work. Okay, that's a lot of hard work. You got to be always on, and you can't screw up. You got lives depending on you. So, you know, we hope that everybody does find a job they like. But listen, not all jobs are fun. You know, you got to kind of make it fun. You know, like, I mean, you know, I'm not a really big fan of plumbing. I don't know how plumbing could be fun, but I, you know, God bless our plumbers out there who could get through their day. Mammograms. People who have to shoot mammograms. I don't think that's very fun at all. But we got some interesting news on mammograms. They say how often you should get a mammogram should really be tailor-made to the patient. It's about time. People are talking about tailoring the way we do treatment. This was a research effort published Monday in the Annals of Internal Medicine, and they set out to tailor women's breast cancer screening practices to their actual risk of breast cancer. And it concludes that a woman's breast density, how dense your breasts are, should influence the frequency with which she is screened for breast cancer. So you know how recommendations have now been cutting it back to every 2 years. They're saying, oh, no, no, no. If you are high risk with your family or you have dense breasts, you go back to a once-a-year mammogram. This was underwritten by National Cancer Institute. The new study combined the data collection efforts of breast cancer epidemiologists with three separate teams of cancer modelers. In the study, women were separated into subcategories based on four levels, each of individual risk and breast density. Remember I told you, you know, many doctors are now required to tell you on your mammogram if your breasts are dense, because if so, that means you're going to need more frequent mammograms or possibly an ultrasound or maybe thermography or maybe an MRI. The research recommends that women older than 50 with dense breasts who have higher than normal risk of developing breast cancer should get annual mammograms. These women represent a small minority of the women in that group, less than 1%, they say, between 50 and 74. So you have to be high risk plus having dense breasts. And by high risk, you know, it in the family, obesity, lack of breastfeeding, history of a breast biopsy. So, you know, the recommendations before, I mean, how I always did it in my office is, you know, if you were 40, you got a mammogram every 2 years. Then when you were 50, you got it every year. Plus you got a baseline DEXA scan, bone density scan. Okay, all of a sudden something happened where, you know, after the Affordable Care Act, recommendations were being made going, nah, maybe what we could do is just wait till they're 50 and only high risk when they're 40. Well, how does somebody know when they're high risk? Okay, I mean, you know, we've had 30-year-old women have breast cancer. And then, you know, if they don't feel the lump, actually we were doing a baseline at 35. They get a baseline between 35 and 40, because that's how I was trained. You get a baseline between 35 and 40, you know, and you know, you've heard of, like, Christina Applegate having breast cancer when she was 36. You know, it was bilateral, too. So, I mean, you know, I thought that was very adequate and very justified to have a baseline mammogram between 35 and 40, and then every 2 years when you're 40 and every year when you're 50. So they started to say, no, 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 you can wait till you're 50 and then maybe go to every 2 years. Well, now we have this study say, wait a second, if you have dense breasts, maybe we need to go back to more often. 1-877-DOC-TALLY.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FiveStarSoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Introducing the fastest growing digital currency company in the world, OneLife. With over 2.1 million members, OneCoin is becoming the most powerful force in digital currency. It reached over $1 billion in revenue in its first year. No other company has accomplished such an impressive feat. Now you can achieve financial independence with the strength of OneLife. Find out how to build your financial dreams. 877-933-4747. 877-933-4747. Dedicated to helping you create financial abundance.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.